Praise the Lord. Great things is going to happen in your life today. Let me tell you ahead of time, there's going to be an upliftment in your life. There's going to be an impartation in your life. You're going to take the plane. Now, if you've been riding bicycle, you move to the next level, motorcycle. Then you move to the next level, you have a car. But now today, your journey is so far. Your journey is so high. You have to take a plane from today. You will rise high. You will go far. You will do what you never dreamt you could do. And today, for you, for me, for us, in the beginning of a new level of achievement in every life. If you are the one I'm talking to, where are you? Raise up that hand. Father, I pray that every failure of the past you blot out from every life in Jesus' name. A new strength, a new vision, a new direction, a new strength and power. And Lord, I pray everything that spells failure in any life, young people, boys, girls, students of universities, colleges, and young adults, blot failure out of every life in Jesus' name. Young adults, young professionals, here is the time now to begin to soar above. And I pray the spirit of excellence will enter everyone. We'll begin to walk, we'll not be weary. We'll begin to run, we will not faint. We're not looking back, we're not going back. We're moving up, we're moving forward. Confirm it, Lord, in every life, here, online, everywhere, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. As we come this session, I'm talking to you on a unique, great privilege. Empowered for excellence. Empowered for excellence. The privilege we have, great privilege we have, unique privilege we have, a great, unique privilege, empowered for excellence. There's a verse in Deuteronomy, reading from chapter 8, looking at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading from verse 18. It says, but thou shalt remember. That thou shalt, it means you should remember that it is the Lord thy God, your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. When we talk of wealth there, wealth in your being, your health, wealth in your profession, success, achievement, wealth in your academics, distinction. And it said, it is the Lord, thy God, that gives you the power, the strength, the energy, the backbone, the focus, the drive. He's the one that gives you everything it takes, that you have wealth in every area, wealth in every pursuit, wealth, success, achievement, in everything you lay your hand upon. We can afford to forget the past. Your failures are buried. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Your defeat in the past, buried. And all those negative things and no negative feelings will come to bury the past right here. And now, resurrection, new life, new strength, new power, new energy, new achievement, a new assignment, a new thing will be birthed in your heart today. For this unique experience, great experience, we're going to have as we're empowered for excellence. I'm talking to you on three levels today. Number one, I'm going to talk on the teenagers, point number one. Number two, I'm going to talk to the students, college students, university students, higher institution students, point number two. Number three, I'm going to talk to the young adults, the young eagles, and the young professionals, and the ones who are between the adult life and the youth life, and you are ready to do what it takes, and you are going to mount up even from this very day in Jesus' name. Number one, why don't you say amen when I say in Jesus' name? And you know, sometimes there are some flies around, and you know, the flies of discouragement and the flies of failure and the flies of the past. When you shout amen like that, those flies, they have ears, and when they hear a great amen, they look here and there, and those flies of defeat and flies of failure, they run away from you, they never come back again. Yeah. Number one, focused teenagers learning to lean towards excellence. Where you lean in life, where you tend to rest in life, where you look at in life, that's the direction you go. That's why number one is focused teenagers learning to lean towards excellence. Number two, foremost students. I'm talking to those who are going to take the lead in their community, in our country, in our continent, in every continent. Number two, foremost students lifted onto the ladder of excellence. There is a ladder, and it has a solid wall it's leaning on. And then the Lord takes you and he puts you on that ladder, lifted onto the ladder of excellence. Number three, fortified young adults, empowered young adults, stabilized young adults, fortified young adults, living and leading towards excellence. Fortified, empowered, strengthened, energized, enabled, fortified young adults, living and leading towards excellence. Look at number one there. Number one, focused teenagers. You see, my children, sons and daughters, if we're going to do anything, if we're going to run the race of life, we have to be looking in one direction. Show me a runner and show me an athlete. If one is running and is looking here and looking here and is not focused, it's not focused on the goal, how can he make it? Show me a footballer who is on the field and he's not looking at the goalpost. That's why they put the goalpost there. And that is the direction that you ought to go. And therefore, if you are playing, it might dribble it here. It might have the back a quarter. What's the position there? Wherever he's playing and whatever he's doing is focused on the goalpost. because he wants to score a goal. The same thing in life. If we're going to make anything, young people, teenagers, we're focused, we're learning to lean towards excellence. Look at Psalm 112 there, and I'm looking at verse 7. In Psalm 112, we're looking at verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. The evil tidings there, you have a lot of things happening. You know, the college is closed over there, and the school is flooded over there, and the gates are broken down over there, and the teachers, some have resigned and some are coming in. Some of the teachers are new. Some of the teachers are old. Some of the teachers, I need to pay attention to understand their intonation. And yet, all those things that appear negative, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He shall not be jolted by evil tidings. He will not be distracted by whatever is happening. One of the students in our class had a major problem. She's not in class today. Another one, she's kind of dropped out. He will not be jolted. It will not be distracted by all the news, all the things that happen. Why? His heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. Somebody in life who has an ambition fixed. He has a project fixed. And he has a mind fixed. His heart is fixed. Actually, our heart, that takes in our mind. It takes in our dream. It takes in our vision. It takes in our ambition. It takes in everything within us. And while we're focused on that thing, we know that is the goal. And when you set your mind, you set your eyes, you set your vision, and you set everything you have within you on the goal, the place you are going, you will get there. A mile at a time, a day at a time, a step at a time, a class at a time, a study at a time. One. The hour is made up of minutes. And when you spend qualitative minutes and you push everything into every minute, and then you have 1 hour at a time, and you have 1 day at a time, and you have 1 assignment at a time. And every time you are focused, that hour you are focused, that day you are focused, in the class, whatever you are learning, you are focused. One lesson at a time, one class at a time, one day at a time. Everybody can do that. You say, our problem concentrating. You can concentrate for 1 minute, concentrate for 1 minute. You can concentrate for 1 hour. You can concentrate for one class. You have that focus. And it says, his heart, his mind is fixed. That's a person is learning to lean towards excellence. There are three things I'm looking at here. Number one, the passion and love for excellence. Number two, our pursuit of learning to be excellent. Number three, the perseverance of those leaning towards excellence. Three things. Number one, passion. Number one, number two, pursuit. And number three, perseverance. Look at number one there. Number one is the passion and love for excellence. In life, we only do what we love. If you are neutral, if you don't have any love, you don't have any flair for something, you might know, okay, it's good, okay, other people can do it, but because we don't have love for it, we don't have passion passion for it. We don't have a burning desire for that thing. We don't get it done. Maybe you have the ability, but you don't have the love for it. You don't have the liking for it. You don't have the passion for it. You don't do it. But something that you've seen, that I'm going over there, but I need this bridge of secondary education. I need this bridge of college education. I need this bridge of personal education. And because of that, I grow to love that thing. I love it not for its sake. I love it for the goal, for the sake of the goal I want to reach. You see, do you love English language? Well, as you were teaching us all those things, here and there, put the sentence together here. Here is the subject. Here is the, you know, subjunction. Here is this, the adjective. This one is the adverb. What's the difference between adverb and adjective? I don't like this, you know. We have to like it. We have to have passion for it, because it is what you love and you have passion for. That's why the direction you are going to go, and therefore you look at your subjects and the ones that are difficult. You know, if mathematics is the one that is difficult, you don't say, well, I'm going to spend my time on the subjects I like, I pick and choose, but the one that appears difficult, you say, I will conquer this one. Somebody there, I will conquer this one. What are you? I will conquer this subject. You will conquer in Jesus' name. Passion, passion, passion. You love, you get to love it. And you know, sometimes you meet somebody for the first time. Maybe there's something about him, about her you don't like. Something about her you don't appreciate. But as you talk together, interact together, and as you talk together and share minds together, although you didn't like him, you didn't like her at the beginning, in time, you grow to love each other and you grow to like each other. The same thing. This subject, I don't like it. This subject, I don't want to give my time to it, but take it up again and do some what we call remedial learning. The things that you have learned in the past, which you didn't really fully learn, go back to it. It will be simpler now. And then you interact with that subject, interact with the teachers, interact with the textbook, interact with the questions of the past, interact with the questions and answers of past exams. As you do that, you create passion and you create love for excellence. Look at somebody. It's Daniel chapter 6, and I'm looking at verse 3. It says, then this Daniel, I like that, this Daniel. It says there are many kinds of Daniel and many forms of Daniel, but this one that we're talking about, this Daniel, what's your name? I said, what's your name? All right. Mine is William. I say, this William. Say your own. Talk. This Daniel. You know, you have to get yourself out of the bunch. Get yourself out of the crowd. You know, if you're just following the crowd, is the way they're moving, and you're moving there, you don't get yourself out and be a special person. You'll be part of the crowd. But when we're able to talk about you, and we say, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, above the leaders, above the chairman, above the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That's what will happen to this youth, to that youth. Excellent spirit will be in you. Now, what's the demonstration, manifestation of such an excellent spirit? Daniel chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 8. It says, but Daniel, you know, all the other things, they go normal, all the stream flowing normal, but Daniel, when he comes in, there's a change. And today, from today, when you come in, I said when you come in, I said when you come in, there'll be a change. Other people have been talking failure, they're talking defeat, they're talking impossibility, and that. But Daniel, as you come, thank God there's a change today. Thank God there's a transformation today. It's happening in your spirit. It's happening in your soul. It's happening in your inner man. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king, with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Daniel, why? He said, because I define myself, therefore I will not defile myself. You have to define who you are. You have to define why you are here. You have to define why you are in college, in school. You have to define what you want to take out from here. Let not society, and let not anyone defile you, because it is your attitude, it is what you stand for that defines you. I now want to give you the definition I have for you. You are a boy, you are a girl of excellence. You are a student of excellence. No matter what had happened in the past, today is the beginning of a new life for every one of you. And when you define yourself, a new definition, a new direction, a new decision, a new determination. Now I define myself. This is the way to go. Nothing will stop you. And today I want to tell you that if you will see what gets other people down, what pins other people down, and you say, I define myself as different, as distinct, as a person that has a destination, and I am getting there. Praise the Lord, you are getting there. Look at verse 20 there. Verse 20 says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them who? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He found them 10 times better. 10 times better. I'm talking about you. 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all Israel. Look at number 2 there. Number 2 there. We're looking at the pursuit of learning and to be excellent. The pursuit, when somebody has passion, just like when you put a kettle of water on fire, maybe a stove, and then when you put a lid there, if the water is still cold or is rising a little bit, 10 degrees Fahrenheit, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, the lid on the kettle will stay there. But when it gets to boiling point, you see, that's what you need to have, that the passion you have, the love you have is rising, and the temperature is rising, and you get to that boiling point, that lid will fly. lid that covered you up, the lid that limited you, the lid that stops the favor, the vapor from going up, that lid will fly up. It is what is in you that causes that movement that you now pursue. Passion leads to pursuit. Look at that one. He's not pursuing anything. Wakes up in the morning, and then during the day, the whole day is gone, and there's no progress. He didn't even add a mile. He didn't have a yard. He didn't add a meter to his progress. Why? There is no passion, so there's no pursuit. But when you have the passion, and there's something on the inside of you boiling, you will move on, greater knowledge and greater achievement in Jesus' name. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9, reading from verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Give instruction to a wise man. You're doing well already, but now you're going to do better. You're doing good already, but now you're going to do better. You have been following a good pattern and a good speed, but now you're going to have a higher, better, greater plan in your life in Jesus' name. You see the one that said, I've learned enough, I've known enough. Why do I need to go to the next class? Why do I need to go to the next level? He's forgotten what we're told here. Give instruction to a wise man. He's already wise. He has the foundation and the basis of being wise. He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I pronounce that increase upon every life here today in Jesus' name. The achievement of the past is going to be like a platform. It's going to be like a springboard. You see those people that dive into the ocean, into the sea, they have, they walk to that platform, and then there's a spring there, and then they're, you know, going up and down. They're ready to launch now, and they launch into the deep. That is what we're here for. That this that you have got in the past, it will be like a springboard, and then you will dive into greater achievement in your life in Jesus' name. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm reading there from verse 3. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, it says, yes, if thou criest after knowledge. It's like, you know, where is the knowledge? Where is the knowledge? They say it's in class 2. I'm in class 1. And you are crying after knowledge. I'm eager to get to class 2. Because what I'm looking for is in that class. Now you are JSS and you say, I want knowledge. I want knowledge. They say it's in senior secondary. And you say, I am eager to go there. Everything that needs to be done, you do it now because you are crying after knowledge. I finished my secondary school, but I'm still pursuing knowledge. It's a pursuit, and I'm running after. I'm driving after. You're not allowing yourself to say, you know, to take that school cert. I'm telling you, we're ready in the day, we're ready in the night. I don't know what I'm going to do now. You see that there's still knowledge. You're still not the periphery of knowledge. Because of that, you have a pursuit, and you just take this as the springboard, and you're learning to be excellent. And it says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Then in verse 4, it tells us in verse 4, it says, if thou seekest her as silver, like other people are seeking for silver, you're seeking for knowledge, you're seeking for increase, and searchest for her as for hidden treasures. And then in verse, look at verse 4, verse 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. And then it says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge. He'll give you knowledge and understanding. You will have. I will have. I will have. Number one is the passion. Number two is the pursuit. Number three is the perseverance. Perseverance, that word, perseverance, means that, you know, sometimes our flesh is not stone, our brain is not made of iron or steel. Because of that, we sometimes get tired, we sometimes get weary, and we sometimes, it's like, should I go on? Can I go on? Can I do it? And that's the time this virtue of perseverance comes in. Now, perseverance is a virtue, and we're not born with perseverance. When a baby is born, if there's any need, cries. If there is any attention he wants, he cannot endure that quietness from the mother or from the family. He cries. We are not born with perseverance, but perseverance is such an important virtue. We have to cultivate it. We have to, in cultivation, we plant, we water, and then we see, we fence around what we plant so that it will grow. The same thing with perseverance. Perseverance in our lives. Number one, we plant that perseverance. How do I do that? I see those athletes. Don't they get tired? Yes, they do. But they keep on running. They keep on running. They persevere. They neglect their pain. They overlook their pain. They overlook their tiredness, because they know they are in a race and they want to get to the destination. And then when you see them, if he can do it, I can do it too. If he can pursue, I can pursue too. If he can achieve, I can achieve too. You see the doctor, prof that spoke to us at the beginning, you see where he was, you see what he did. There'll be times of discouragement, there'll be times of tiredness, there'll be times when the person will say, why am I born in this locality? Why am I growing up in this local government? Why am I going through all this? But he made use of is intelligence, intellect, mind, and then if he's to get a kind of old machinery, I'll get it. If he's to do something very minimal and small to remain alive, I'll do it. And if it is to go for a kind of a training that is not full-time but part-time, I'll do it. He gets tired, he gets weary, he gets unhappy when he compares all the people that are having it easy in life. It will come like that. But it is when you say, I will persevere, I will move on, I will endure, and I will go through whatever I need to go through, and you persevere like other people have persevered, you will have that. And then you're not sure that what we hear, we practice. What we hear, somebody said he persevered, and it's the way he did it, and I will do it. And then you're not sure that it begins to grow. But then you must understand what we lose if you allow perseverance to get to the level, I've endured enough, I have run enough, I have gone that way enough, I have fought my tiredness enough. You see, when you stop, everything will be going down. You have to have opportunities every day to persevere. As something comes, you've overcome tiredness in that area, and you've overcome weariness in that area. Another area comes now, you're getting tired, you're not give up. Today, you must persevere. Tough, you must persevere, because when tough times come, tough people keep on persevering. But the people that say it's tough, and because it's tough, I'm going back home. I can't do anything anymore. Tough times come, and tough people, tough teenagers, persevere. You'll persevere. I said you'll persevere. And look at this. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 14. It says, for the merchandise of each is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof the fine gold. Do you see businessmen, how they persevere? Do you see the people who are running after sales, how they persevere? I knock on that door as a salesman, and the fellow there opened the door and said, what do you want? Tell me in a minute. And then you put on a smile. You say, I came to tell you of something that just came out. It just produced, and it will give you a better life, a happier life. It will make everything easier for you. The things you'll not be able to do in the household, I bring you this commodity. And with a smile, you say, come on in, come on in. You need more than 1 minute, you see. If at the time that, you know, it came in and the fellow said, 1 minute, what do you have? If he didn't wear a smile, if he's not, you know, kind of attractive, and they'll send him back from there. Whatever the world is doing against you, the world frowns against you, the world opposes you, the world criticizes you, and the world puts you down, and the world denies you the opportunity you ought to have, you persevere. And as you persevere, things will change for the better. In my life. In my life. Things will change for the better in Jesus' name. Look at verse 15 there. In verse 15, she is more precious than rubies. It's talking about knowledge. It's talking about understanding. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 22, we're looking at verse 29. It says, seest thou a man? You can put your name there. Seest thou a woman? Seest thou a boy? Seest thou a girl? Diligent in his business. Diligent, not in other people's business. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Now, when they tell us that, we shouldn't be offended. He's saying, why are you prognosing? Why are you trying to change something that doesn't belong to your realm and to your area? Why are you trying to help other people and you're not helping yourself? Mind your business. I will mind my own business. I will mind my own business. I will study my own books. I will do my own homework. I will do my own assignment. I will fill my own form. I will seek admission to the college I want to get to. I will mind my own business. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. I say amen for you. Amen. Look at number two now. Point number two. We're looking at foremost students lifted onto the ladder of excellence. The Lord will take you from where you are now, and you're going to the top in Jesus' name. Samuel chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 8. For Samuel chapter 2, we're reading from verse 8. He, the God of heaven, the God of the power that never fails, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. That's what he's going to do to you and for you today. He will lift you up from the dust He lifts you up from the basement of your profession. And you're not all the time, every time you come, they direct you to the basement. And there you are. For many years now, the basement of your school, the basement of your education, the basement of your profession. This, okay, you know your place now. Your seat is over there. But today, the Lord is going to remove your seat from the basement. And it's going to take you to the highest level and the top story of that apartment, of that place, in Jesus' name. Because it says he raises up the poor and the beggar out of the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth at the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, he says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Enemies will not prevail over you. And the people that stand at the crossroad, at the way, whether you will get up or not, before you get to that crossroad, the Lord will clear them off for you. Yeah. We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the foundation of leaders like British for excellence. The leaders that God himself like braids for excellence. We have a foundation. What can the righteous do if the foundation be destroyed? Number two, the formation of lives lifted to excellence. And number three, the friend's loyalty on the ladder towards excellence. Look at number one. Number one is the foundation of leaders like braided for excellence. We're looking at Psalm 11, reading from verse 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, think about that in our own context. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the diligent, determined students and the future leaders, what can they do? We have to keep the foundation. Have you noticed when you have the foundation of the times table? 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4. And then you come to 6 times 7 and 6 times 8. And then you come to 12 times 11 and 12 times 12 foundation. As you move to the next class, you don't throw the times table away. That I'm now in college, I don't need time. Yes, you still need that. That's foundation. And then when you go to university, and when you are in the polytechnic, and anywhere you are, you don't throw that foundation away and say, that's a foundation. That's 2 times 2, that's 3 times 4, and that is 5 times 10. That foundation still has to be there. And even when you have graduated, you become a professor, you cannot throw the timetable away and say that, you know, that one is elementary. We keep the foundation. The same thing in our learning. The rudimentary things that we have learned. And because of the rudiments we have learned, and we keep that foundation so that to build and to do anything, we still need to measure and we still need to put the plumb line there. And it's the foundation that will help us. That's why it says, if the foundations be annulled, destroyed, taken away, the foundation is no more there, what can the engineer do? What can the doctor do? And what can the nurses do? What can the tailors do? What can those professionals do? If the foundation, the basic knowledge they learned at the beginning, if they throw that away, that means that whatever we're doing now, wherever we are now, we keep that foundation. And then when it comes to the moral life, to the spiritual life, to the religious life, we have the foundation. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 19 here. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Nevertheless, the basic understanding we have that God is, and that God still remains today, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That foundation, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of the love of God. The love of God for you, for me, for everyone. The foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation, He hates evil because He's a good God. He hates unrighteousness because He's a righteous God. He hates anything that will hurt your neighbor because He's the God of all creation, the God of all flesh. We need to keep that foundation. And it says, nevertheless, if the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every man, every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I need a good amen. We're coming to number two here. Number two here is the formation of lives lifted to excellence. God wants to lift you up. And today, He will lift you up. Amen. Where are you there? God bless you there. Because He is the God who forms us and reforms us, who changes us, and then He makes something better out of our lives. Now, in the formation, if you're forming something, have you looked at those people that, you know, they make the pots, they make the cups, they make the plates and all that, and they go through the process of formation. Look at that clay, just a lump of clay, and then they'll break down that clay. They will soften that clay. Then they'll have a pattern for the mold of that clay. And eventually, when everything comes out, they'll pass it through the heat and through some fire. It becomes solid now, and they put some decorations on of what they have made. That's what God does. There is a process of forming us, and He will, you know, He formed us originally, but sin deformed us. Education tries to reform us, but it's not enough. It takes the hand of God that formed us originally to now reform us and refashion us and do something that will become a brand new creature. Amen. And then you also now begin to form and to make the things in your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. I'm looking at verse 27. In Proverbs 24, verse 27, prepare thy work without. Prepare thy work without. What does that mean? You have a work to do. Prepare thy work without. As we, for children, we're going to school. And the previous night, I'll be going to school tomorrow morning. And so I pick my exercise book, I pick my textbook, and I put everything in my bag ready to go. You're preparing outside tomorrow. You're preparing today what you'll need tomorrow. And now you go to the next level. You prepare your work, you prepare your studies, you prepare your personality without, that is outside next month, outside next year. Today you are preparing outside next year, you are preparing for next year. Now you have finished school and you now want to go for a particular profession. You prepare yourself outside that profession. I want to be a doctor. What subjects will I need? What lessons will I need? I want to be whatever profession, you can mention yours. I want to be that. What do I need now to prepare to get over there? We prepare ahead of time. You see, there are people, they live from day to day, no preparation, no formation of anything. The day comes and then they are here today. What do I do today? What am I going to have today? You have to prepare ahead of time. Don't you see this program? This program was said on Saturday, the 26th of November. We're going to have the empowerment for excellence for youth. Before this Saturday came, we're prepared. All the things we're going to do, we're going to have, we have to prepare. That's how life works. You have to look at the future. You have to look at what is ahead of you, and you prepare ahead of time. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself. Make it fit for thyself. I'm going to run, and the shoes I wear, they have to fit. They fit me, and they fit the race, because a slippers will not do, and a real shoe will not do. Therefore, I have to have what will do. You want to play the tennis, and then you have to have the real bat you ought to have, and everything, and sharp eyesight, and you need to know how to attack that, how to get back that. You see, we prepare everything. But if you don't prepare, how do I prepare? I practice. I'm going for one game, and I practice 1,000 times so that my body, my sight, my bending, everything is used to what I want to do. That's how life is. That you're always preparing yourself. Afterward, build thine house. Then you'll be able to build a profession now. And then also you prepare yourself. Some people say, I'm going to heaven, going to heaven. And I say, what preparation are you making? I don't need to prepare. I just want to get to heaven. Everything needs preparation. Everything on earth, everything in the great beyond will prepare. You repent of your sin, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you take him as your Lord and Savior, and then by the grace of God, you will get there. I will get there. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the friend's loyalty on the ladder towards excellence. The key, the friend's loyalty on the ladder for excellence. And you know what? If we're going to go through life and we're going to make it, we cannot be a lone ranger. We need love, we need understanding, we need help, a helping hand. And it is all that that our friends will. Friends will come, and those friends will help us so that we get to the place we need to get to. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. It's a two-way traffic. You to your friend, and your friend to you. That if you want a smile from him, from her, you smile. If you want a helping hand from him, from her, you give the helping hand. If you want joy and happiness and satisfaction from him, you give that too, because it's a two-way traffic. It says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, what kind of friend should I have? What kind of friend should you have that will help you, that will make you to go on in the journey that the Lord has given you? Now, I want to ask it like a question. Who is your friend? How is your friend? Number one, is he agreeable or aggressive? You see somebody always arguing, always wanting to beat you down, aggressive in even towards you. You see agreeable or aggressive? B, you see brotherly or brutish? Beast. The way he talks, And the way he pounces upon somebody, you see, brotherly and nice and friendly or brutal. See, you see, courageous or cowardly. The friends we have, the one that is cowardly is not able to do anything. There's always difficulty there. There's always danger there. There's always, you know what, I cannot handle that. You see, cowardly. D, you see, disciplined or a derelict. You see, a disciplined person, he knows when to talk. He knows when not to talk. He knows how to relate. He is disciplined. And he considers how you will feel, how you will think. He considers what impact and what effect, what he says and what he does. Is he exemplary or exploitative? Exemplary. Exemplary in love. Exemplary in helping. Exemplary in being considerate. Or you see, exploitative, just wanting to exploit you to get something out of you. He always gets and he always sucks it out without you having any benefit. You see, focused or flirting. Your friend, the one you choose as your friend, what kind of friend would this be? Will this one be able to get you to where you want to go? You see, godly or godless? You need to think about that. The kind of friends you have and the people you are going on with, we don't just want to have any friend. It's a friend that will love us, a friend that will lift us up, a friend that will get us to where we're going. Each, you see, helpful or harmful. It's a friend. It's a friend. And when you are planning on doing something and you want to get here, get there, it's hurtful. It's harmful. And it's hindering you from getting where you ought to get. It's like it's not happy with your progress. It's not happy with the increase. It's not happy with going on, with you going on the ladder of excellence. Helpful or harmful? I now, is he? I, is he industrious or idle? Now, he also always wants to talk. Wants to talk, wants to talk. You want to read, he wants to talk. You want to do assignment, he wants to talk. And you want to, you know, check up that internet and see how to go further. You're industrious, you are always on the move, and you're a go-getter. But is your friend an idle one? You see, just or jealous? That friend is just, he considers things in the proper way, in the proper measure, and is just in his evaluation, is just in the exhortation, is just in example, is just in everything that he shares with you. Or you see, jealous. You're moving forward, he's jealous, that's a friend. You're moving up and he's jealous, is that a friend? And he's wanting to derail you, and he's wanting to, you know, triple you over. Is that a good friend? You see, kind or kidding. Anything he says, you know, with that plastic smile, you know, he just wants to get at, he's kidding. You can't trust him. You can't trust her. But you see, kind, genuinely kind, these are the friends that will help us. And then we say, you see, loyal or lying. You see, loyal or lying. You know, whatever he tells you, when you hear from another source, you say, this is my friend, but it's all telling me lies. Now, why does he tell you lies? He doesn't want you to know the truth that will make you successful. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, mindful or meddling. You see, mindful is mindful of your soft points. It's mindful of your delicate point. It's mindful of what can easily get you and get at you. It's mindful what he says and what he does, how he relates with you. It's mindful. Or you see, meddling, he meddles in the affairs of other people. He meddles in the, you know, conditions of other people. The thing that do not concern him, he is meddling. What kind of friend do you have? Is he noble or is he narrow-minded? Narrow-minded. You know, if you you try to go to the library, he says, why don't you stay in the room here? You say, I need a book there. I need reference a book there. I need to get on the computer there. But he says, you know, we have all the textbook in here. He's so narrow-minded. In every area of life, he is not noble. How can this be a friend? A friend that will lead you to the place you ought to get to. And then, oh, is he open or oppressive? Is he open or oppressive? Once he opens his mouth, once she opens her mouth, oppression will come. Is he positive or pessimistic? You always see the dark side of life. You want to move here? Be very careful. You want to go there? Be very careful. You want to study that? Be very careful. You want to join that course? Be very careful. You want to get this done? Be very careful. Always pessimistic. He cannot take any risk in life to move out where he ought to move. Or you see positive? Is he quiet or quarrelsome? The friends we have, are they quietly just following sin? I'll watch, I look, I think before I decide, before I leave, and he's quiet while in the process of thinking through. He doesn't jump at conclusion. A friend, the friend that will help us to be what we ought to be, they are positive in life, practical in life, not pessimistic. You see, respectable or just rotten. He doesn't respect anybody. Anybody that crosses his way, crosses her way, her language rotten, her reaction rotten, her life rotten, her utterance, the dirty sin that comes out of his mouth, of her mouth, rotten. Is that a friend? Or your friend is respectful and respectable. And then is selfless. He'll think about you. He'll think of your good, not selfish. Which one is your friend? Is he selfless or is he selfish? Is he thoughtful or thoughtless? Now, why do you always say that to me? That discourages me. Oh, I didn't think about that. Why did you tell me that? That puts me down. Oh, I didn't think of that. I was happy and joyful and excited before you came. Now you came. This thing you have said now just deflated my balloon. I didn't think of that. They are thoughtless, such people. But your friends, the people that will help you when you want to have a friend now, a friend that will continue, a friend that will keep on lifting you up on the ladder of excellence, they are thoughtful, not thoughtless. Are they unwavering or unsteady? The friends, you know, today is full of smiles and things are good. You are my friend and I love you and I appreciate you. But tomorrow and nothing else has happened. You have not offended him. You have not offended her. She's moody and then she's looking down and she's depressed. Even her look, even her shoulders that dropped, everything can bring depression on somebody. What has happened? He's unsteady. What kind of friend do you have? Are your friends unwavering or unsteady? Are your friends virtuous or vicious? Vicious. That your friend, they are virtuous. They have virtue. And they have things that will lift a person up. Things that will make a person desire to live. I want to come to class, the following class, and the following, because my friend is always an encouragement and is virtuous. Courage is a virtue. Courage is a virtue. And, you know, vision is a virtue. And determination is a virtue. And when you have that virtue, with a virtuous friend, how far you can go in life is, is he watchful or wistful? It's your friend. They want you to say, that's my friend, that's my friend, and we're going together, because you'll not go beyond generally the level of your friend. Is he watchful or is he wistful? Now, X, is he an ex-sinner or ex-sage? ex-sinner. He was a sinner before like everybody else, but now ex is no more into the sin business anymore. All he does now, he loves what is bright, what is good, what is righteous, what is encouraging, what is helpful. He is an ex-sinner. That's a good friend. But now there are some ex-saints. Ex-sage, he was a sage before, he was saved before, he was a real good person, he was righteous before, but now all that righteousness, no, I don't want that again. And all that good life, is an ex-sage no more. A sage, you see, yielding or yelling, yielding. You see something good, he said, I bow. You see something helpful, he said, I yield to that. He hears something good and he says, I yield to that. I want to be that kind of man, that kind of woman, that kind of boy, that kind of girl, that kind of young adult, because he is yielding. Other people, when they hear something that demands correction, anything that demands turning around and do something good, it begins to shout, it begins to yell. And you say, what's happening over there? Anybody hurt there? And he's yelling and yelling on top of his voice. Anytime truth wants to penetrate, anytime light wants to penetrate, he has the habit of just yelling and yelling. Now that will not help as a friend. Zed, you see, zealous. Or does he have zero zeal? Just there, like a log of wood. Just there, immovable. Just there, there's no passion, there's no vision. Just there, there's no zeal, zero zeal. Now you can tell which one, which such a friend that you have. Are they on this side good? Are they on that side bad? What are you going to do now? Have the friend that will help you. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. In Proverbs chapter 18, reading here from verse 24, it says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord help every one of us in Jesus' name. The Lord will help you. I said the Lord will help you. Point number three now. Number three, we're looking at fortified young adults living and leading towards excellence. Fortified, strengthened, energized, empowered, and we're living towards excellence. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. If I were you, I would say amen. Amen. Look at three things we're looking at here. Three things here. Number one, creating, cultivating, constructing a better future. That's what we do. As we finish round up now, you say, okay, I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to create, I'm going to cultivate, and I'm going to construct a better future. Number two, confessing, correcting, countering your bitter failures, the failures of the past. We'll come to God, we'll say, God, I want to start on a new slate because I confess, and because I correct, because I counter the bitter failures of the past. Number three, compelling, conserving, contributing a bigger fruitfulness. Look at number one very quickly. Number one is creating and cultivating and constructing a better future. better future. In Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm reading there from verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 36, reading from verse 11, and it says, I will multiply upon you men and beasts, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estate, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. God says, you now, you have come on the line, and he says, I'll do better things unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Better things, number one, better desires. Now you look at your life and you say, now for the future, better desires. Number two, better decisions. Desires must be followed up by decision. Number three, better delays. What does that mean? You see, there are people that want to have instant gratification, instant pleasure, instant gain, instant achievement. Delay that. Gratification will come later. Celebration will come later. Eating this and eating that, feasting will come later. Better delays. Number four, better discipline. If you had been undisciplined before and your life just flabby because there is no discipline, but now better discipline. Number five, better dutifulness. You're now dutiful, you're industrious, and you lay your hand on something to do, and you do it till you finish. Better devotion. And number seven, better destiny. The Lord will take you there. Look at number two here. Number two, we're looking at confessing and correcting and countering our bitter failures of the past. You see, as we come to the Lord, we must remember, if I keep on doing the same dumb things I did in the past, the same failure I experienced when I was doing those dumb things, the same thing I will have. But if I say no, something bitter, I confess that to God, and then I correct that in my life, and what I do now, I counter, I go against those things that, you know, had brought me down. Look at this, number one. One, bitter speech of our mouth. That's what drives friends away from us. That's what drives lovers away from us. The bitter speech, bitter substance. You know, the people that have that substance, they want to go on high, and they want to be on top of everything, and they want to silence every emotion. Therefore, they take those drugs, those hard drugs. Bitter substance. You get rid of them. Bitter slavery. You bring yourself, you're being like a slave to this, a slave to that, until that thing overmasters you, overpowers you. You confess that, you clean up that, you correct that, and you counter that. And then bitter sweetness. That thing appears sweet, but you know it's bitter. It has a bitter end. It has a bitter consequence. It has a bitter outcome. And because of that, you want to get off that bitter sweetness and bitter sacrilege. Sacrilege is when people blaspheme God, and then you've been taking pleasure in that. Before you pack all that aside, you say, now I'm going to confess, and all that will not begin. Bitter strife, always striving. Now, if you, life is short, if you go throughout life fighting, you go throughout life strife, and you go throughout life violence, when are you going to enjoy life? And the guilt and the condemnation is there. All those bitter things, we confess them, we correct them, we counter them. We don't walk in that direction anymore. And bitter sail. You say, I don't understand that. There are things that are not for sale. Look at your life. There are commodities that are not for sale. There are good things in your life that are not for sale. How can I tell you that? How can I explain that? They'll say, man, this man, actually his heart was soft. And when Elijah spoke to him, he went softly. But he sold himself to Jezebel, Ahab, because he had sold himself, all the good things in him, he has sold unto Jezebel. There are some things you need to know is not for sale in your life. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
There's a newspaper, national paper, and it used to publish, something for our young people, both boys and girls. And then sometimes they'll have an article, they'll say, virginity not for sale. And you take a cue from that. There's some good things in your life. Integrity, not for sale. Vision, not for sale. Courage, not for sale. Ability, not for sale. Strength, not for sale. Samson didn't understand that the gift he had was not for sale. Even Solomon didn't understand that the wisdom he had was not for sale. And Ahab did not know that his person and personality was not for sale. You must determine in your life. Look at the conviction there. Not for sale. Look at the courage there, not for sale. Look at the confidence there, not for sale. And look at the passion and the mission that you have, not for sale. Bitter sale. But we correct all that, and now we're ready to climb. I said, now we're ready to climb. Where are you? Look at number three here now. Number three, compelling, conserving, contributing, bigger fruitfulness. The Lord wants you to bear fruit. The Lord will equip you. You will bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Good fruit? More fruit? If you've been bearing good fruit before, as we pray together now, more fruit in your life in Jesus' name. Much fruit. That you have fruit here at home, and fruit there in the community, and fruit there in the office. Good fruit everywhere you go. Much fruit. Beneficial fruit that will benefit many people around you. Beneficial fruit, better fruit, the best of fruit, and Godward fruit. I invite you to a new start, a new beginning in your life, that from today, mark this down, higher you will go.
Yes.
Better things you will do. Supernatural help of the power that never fails in your life in Jesus' name. Rise up there, and very quickly just say, Lord, here I come. Lord, here I come. I receive. Here I come. I receive. Here I come. I receive. Tell the Lord the past failure. Say, Lord, I am sorry. I'll not go that direction anymore. Cleanse me, forgive me, change my life, turn my life around, transform my life. Let him do it right there. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He's cleansing you right now. As you believe, be it unto you according to your faith. Amen.
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 Raise up your hand. A new journey now. Raise up hand. Higher heights now.
Amen.
Raise up your hand there. The past is going to go in the water under the bridge.
Amen.
Buried.
Amen.
Buried.
Amen.
new life will resurrect and rise up in your life in Jesus' name. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, manifest your love to everyone, your goodness to everyone, your mercy to everyone. Forgive their past. Recreate, renew in them a new beginning. Lord, grant them the faith to hook in, link in to Jesus, the Savior, right now. Lord, I pray you'll grant them your own salvation. New strength now, new power, new vision, new passion, a new focus, in Jesus' name. Make them first, foremost in their endeavors. And anything that ties down, pulls back, anything that hinders progress, cut away from their lives in Jesus' name. Any sickness, any infirmity, heal them. Amen. Deliver them. Amen. New strength now. New healing now. Total deliverance in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll grant them fortification, amen, strengthening, amen, might, amen, power. And whatever they found impossible in the past, all things are now possible. Amen. Take the limit of their lives and make them to soar high, high, higher, higher, highest, highest, highest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is confirmed in your life.